Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Yay!
Yeah.
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 And we are going to have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers for this movie. If you haven't gotten this far on your Star Wars journey, I would definitely include this on whatever watch you're doing. This is a fun movie for Star Wars fans, and just a fun movie in general. So yes, and we'll talk about that and where it fits and everything else when we get to the end here. We also are having something to drink. What are we having to drink?
Spring rosé.
Yay, spring rosé. Anything pink and sparkling is always a favorite. We thought that, you know, spring awakening, force awakening, things are awakening.
Makes sense to me.
Well, we were thinking about singing, so.
No, we weren't.
No, I can't. It crossed people's minds. If you are not familiar with the musical Spring Awakening, there are some good songs in there.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's.
Oh, this is tasty. I really like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is tasty.
Mm.
So let's get into the synopsis. This one's going to be a little bit more complex because there is a change in the status quo for a lot of this. And we're not going to harp on all of them quite yet. Those will probably be in pros and cons. But so we begin with a pilot for the Resistance getting the other piece of a map to Luke Skywalker, who went missing years ago.
Yeah, there's going to be some backstory with that. We may or may not cover the entirety of the backstory.
Well, from what we know right now, Luke was training someone who turns out to be Kylo Ren, who's our big bad for this movie, these few movies. And he turned against him when he was training him and killed everybody and turned to the dark side. And Luke feels responsible, so he went into hiding.
Killing younglings is bad.
Killing younglings is bad. And so,
in case we didn't learn that in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. I think no one should have to learn that. But yeah, sure.
Should be pretty obvious.
So Luke went into hiding, but left behind this map in case people really need to find him. I guess.
There's no explanation for the map.
There really is none. And so he doesn't tell Leia where he is. He doesn't tell anybody. So he goes into hiding, and there's this map. There are two pieces of the map. They only have one now. The Resistance does. And the First Order, who are the new Empire and all that, they are after
calling them the Empire. You can call them First Order all you want.
I'll call them the First Order. That's what they're called.
Yeah, that is what they're called. They're kind of interchangeable in many ways.
This one's more Nazi-esque.
Yeah.
Either way, they're after the map. They already have the bigger piece of the map based off of Empire Archives, which I don't know why the Resistance couldn't get that either. But anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty clear to me that they do, though.
No, they said that.
Kylo Ren says a lot of shit that isn't true.
So anyway, they're trying to get that piece of the map, so the pilot puts it in a BB-8 unit, who's adorable. He's like the new cute droid. Every Star Wars movie has to have one, so this is ours. And so he puts the information, much like in New Hope, in a droid and sends it off into the desert while he gets captured.
On the planet Jakku, which is basically discount Tatooine.
So now, after Poe, the pilot, gets captured, now the hunt is for the BB-8 unit, who comes across Rey, who is a scavenger who lives on the desert planet of Jakku, which is essentially Diet Tatooine. And
I should just say that.
I said it first before we even started recording, but it's the Walmart brand of Tatooine. And so he comes across her, and she's like, I'll take care of you. And she does. Eventually, Poe is aided in his escape by a reformed stormtrooper, who he later names Finn. And they escape to Jakku to get BB-8 back. They are separated. We think that Poe's dead. He's not. And Finn goes and he actually just stumbles upon Rey and BB-8, and he explains that he was with Poe, and so everyone is assuming, including Rey, that he is a part of the Resistance, even though BB-8 is skeptical. So they escape on the Millennium Falcon because the First Order are after them, and they get stuck in this tractor beam into a bigger ship that is not owned by the First Order. It's owned by Han Solo. And Han Solo is happy to have the Millennium Falcon back. And after a lot of hijinks, they escape that place.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about those in pros and cons because there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, so they escape from that place on the Millennium Falcon. They go to Maz Kanata, who is just essentially getting information, giving them information about where the Resistance are, even though BB-8 already told them what system they are in. I'm kind of, why did they go to Maz Kanata?
They went because they needed a clean ship to get
Right,
BB-8
because they were
back to
being
the
tracked.
Resistance.
Sure. Right, forgot about that. It's just a lot of like, it's a lot like New Hope in that like there are a lot of reasons why they go to one place to another, but it's not always repeated. So they are trying to get a new ship, but it's too late. The First Order have shown up, and they are trying to kill them and trying to get BB-8, but they've already seen the map, Rey and Finn have. And so when Kylo comes across Rey, he's like, oh, she's seen the map. I'll just take her. So they take Rey and the Resistance. They fight the First Order. And as Kylo leaves, the Resistance comes in, and Leia and Han are reunited, which is very nice. And then they're like, all right. Oh, also, by this time, it has been revealed that Kylo Ren is Leia and Han's son, by the way.
Which, that's kind of important, and all these familial connections, it's kind of important to the plot, but it's also important to us as people who've watched the movies all the way through.
It's emotional context as
It
well.
is for sure.
So they're kind of agonizing over what to do because now their Starkiller base is fully operational, which is essentially Death Star times a thousand. They can just kill an entire like system of planets, and if they know where they are, which they do now, then they can just like fire at will. And so they need to disable it. And they're like, "Hey, Finn, if we get you there, can you disable it?" And he's like, yeah, sure, totally. He can't, but he finds people who can on there by like holding them at gunpoint. But so his main goal is to get Rey back because he does not want her to be in the clutches of the First Order. Rey is a couple steps ahead of him by like using a little bit of her unknown force sensitivity to get out of her cell, and she is trying to find a way out. They come across each other. Everything's great. They're figuring out how to disable the shields. They do it. And then Han and his son, Ben, they named him Ben, I'm sure after Ben
Yeah, but
Kenobi for
it's
sure.
just like that's not his name. It's so annoying. I'm sorry.
Anyway. Leia
Name him Obi-Wan or something. I mean, come on.
always called him Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. I'm sorry.
Anyway, he has the confrontation with Ben, and he gets killed by Ben. And so they are trying to, Rey and Finn are trying to escape the planet as it is being destroyed by Poe. And they have a final battle with Kylo. Finn gets injured. Rey uses her force sensitivity to push him back and push Kylo back enough so that they can escape. So they escape, and it's very sad that Han is dead. Also, R2 is there, but he is on low power mode since Luke came back, and now he suddenly comes back to life. And he's
He's
like,
like,
I have the other
this
half of
is
the map,
good.
so really, we didn't have to do all this.
Well, no, so
I
they.
mean, they still needed to, but at the same time, it's like you could have just moved bases and still had all the information you needed.
Well, I didn't get the impression that they were staying where they were just to have the biggest part of the map. I mean, I interpreted the whole map thing differently from the way you did, that nobody had the big part of the map, that what BB-8 got, they thought was the entire map.
But they
I'm
saw that it
sorry,
wasn't.
I'm speaking, Natalie. The First Order assumed that what BB-8 got was the entire map. They didn't see that, and they never knew exactly what that was, whereas the Resistance people believed it was just a piece of the map, and they didn't know where the other pieces were, but they're trying to piece everything together because they want to get Luke back. And when R2 powers up, they're excited that, like, oh wow, we've got the whole map now. Like they didn't expect to have the whole map.
I interpreted that differently.
I heard
The
you.
way I understood it, based off of the dialogue from Kylo, whether he was telling the truth or not, he said that based off of Empire archives, which are incomplete, we have an idea of like where he is, but we need that map to pinpoint exactly where.
Right. So they believed, everybody believed that Luke had gone to the old Jedi temple. And I think the old archives were basically like a vague idea of where the Jedi temple is, not a map from point A to point B. So the map, the exact map that Luke left behind.
Oh, they definitely didn't have that. Obviously,
Yeah.
that was just an
That's.
R2. I'm just talking about they had a vague idea, and the map would have helped them piece that together,
Yeah,
or at least that's what they thought.
I didn't understand it from what you said, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, they now have a completed map because R2 decided to wake up. And so they never knew that R2 had it, even though literally BB-8, as soon as he meets R2, is like, oh yeah,
Hey,
you
baby.
probably have it.
Yeah, well, and Rey would have known, I would think,
Well,
but
Rey wasn't there at that
right,
time.
but Rey had a vision and there were things, but whatever.
Either way, so instead of Leia going to go talk to her brother,
Space twin.
she sends a complete stranger with his lightsaber, which we'll talk about that. But she just sends Rey, and Rey's just holding it out for him when she gets there and is like, here. And that's how it ends.
Yeah, I in the theater, and we did see this in the theater when it came out in
Of course we did.
2015, it had a lot more impact than it does on rewatch, but I would say that it wasn't as flimsy an ending as it seems now.
There definitely were moments that I was, when I was watching this, that even though it still gets me nostalgic, it's like holding for applause that I'm just like, okay.
Well, there's a lot of that in this movie. There's a lot of fan service in this movie, and I'm going to talk about that for me in pros and cons.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the synopsis. Do you want to talk about your pros?
Yeah. So I really like the new trio and their dynamic. We don't see any of Rey and Poe, unfortunately. I think that that could have been an interesting
Yeah,
dynamic
that
that
really
they
would have.
never really
Yeah,
allow for
just
that to
one,
happen.
two more movies and there's nothing.
I find that disappointing.
It
But
is disappointing.
anyway, she's never really paired up with Poe unless it's in the trio dynamic, and she never talks to him in this movie. But they are our new trio, and like technically. But I really love Finn's relationship with both of them. I like Finn and Poe's like bromance of just like, oh my God, you're really good at flying. And like I like them. They're hyping each other up all the time. And
I think so
we're
much of that is Finn's character and how well John Boyega
oh,
does that.
I
I mean,
love
he's
Finn.
fantastic.
I love him, and I'm talking gonna talk about him in a second.
Yeah.
But Finn, I like how cautious he is, while Poe is obviously the hothead pilot.
Well, and he's also vulnerable, you know, like he tries on this, I'm gonna be like I'm a big deal kind of guy, and then he realizes that's not working. I don't know, I don't have like a place to turn, like a way to pivot this.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
He's very real. He's very real.
And I like Finn and Rey as well in their
Yeah, I do
dynamic. I
too.
think they're very sweet. They're, again, like fast friends who are like, oh, well, we saved each other's lives. We're bonded for life.
It
I
could have been a romance that they
think
didn't.
it could have, but
I think it could have too.
I don't mind that it doesn't pan out to be a romance, but I also am like, they didn't really firm it one way or another for them, where it was like they always kind of left the door open for that, which is kind of weird. Like, just choose a lane. Because, like, in this movie, it's almost set up like it's going to be a friends to lovers, but then in later movies, it's just not. So it's like,
In
all
later
right.
movies, things get weird. We're gonna talk about that in its own way.
Yeah, but that's not this movie's problem.
No.
Rey, I like Rey. I think she's a pretty basic character, much like Luke was in New Hope, and we'll talk about the parallels to New Hope. But I think she's cool. I think that they probably stuck too close to a like protagonist trope for me for her. At least in this movie, they try to dive a little bit deeper into her insecurities and her emotions, which are touched on in this movie in later movies, especially in the next movie. But I feel like they just skim the surface with her and go deeper with people like Finn, which I like Finn a lot. Speaking of Finn, I really like the idea of a reformed stormtrooper
Oh yeah,
character.
this is great.
And seeing, like, it was his first time in battle, his friend dies in front of him. Or friendly enough, like coworker, dies in front of him, and he is told to massacre people, and he doesn't do it, and he immediately flips and is like, maybe this isn't what I want to do.
Well, I mean, he
And
was impressed in the service. It's not like he wanted to. His village was slaughtered, and he was taken as a child to become a stormtrooper. That's what he says.
yeah, and it's different from like a clone army, which they do mention, hey, it would be easier to do a clone army. It's like, no,
It actually
it's
would
very
not.
similar to the Unsullied.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Except they're not eunuchs,
Yeah,
as
we
far as
don't
I
see them
know.
procreating, so
I don't know.
I
Just
don't
off of Finn's behavior, I think that he's working just fine.
know.
But
He's got parts.
I love that idea as of a character, and I was shocked that we hadn't seen that before. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm glad that we got to see that now.
Yeah.
And because stormtroopers are rarely humanized in Star
Yeah.
Wars, they are just mindless automatons who just shoot badly and they get killed.
Well, and I will say this, I think some of the quote unquote character development for stormtroopers has been done in, like there are some
Clone
Clone
Wars.
Wars
I'm
cartoon
sure, but
movies
I'm
and
not
stuff like that,
watching
but
that
I
right
haven't
now.
watched that either. And
I
honestly,
watched a little bit of Clone Wars, I think,
yeah,
when
we
I was
did
younger,
early
but
on because Ahsoka and stuff like that was part of the early stuff,
yeah.
and they've had like Bad Batch and some other
I've
things
not seen
too,
Bad Batch.
Clone War creation things, but I feel like there's it's become Disneyfied for a lack of a better term, like the Marvel universe. It's just expanded so much so fast. You can't keep up with it unless you are doing this 24/7, and I don't want to do it 24/7, so.
Agreed. So yeah, I love Finn. I also love John Boyega. I love
I
all
think
of the
he's
actors.
great.
I
Oh
know, I love
yeah.
all of them. I love Daisy Ridley. I think she brings
Oscar Isaacs is fabulous.
I was
Yeah.
gonna get to him. Yes, I love Oscar Isaacs. Very British cast. But I love it. But they're not all using British accents. Only Daisy Ridley is. But I love them. They have such a good charisma. And that speaking of Poe, I really like Poe. I think obviously he's not a new kind of character that we've seen, much like Rey, but he's very like hothead Anakin and
A little Han.
Han. I was gonna say Han, but he has the right amount of charisma and a different kind of charisma that it works.
Yeah, he's
So he
grounded.
doesn't feel like just a retread.
Right, he's grounded like Han. Like he's got some comic relief stuff. He's got
The recklessness of Anakin.
the recklessness of Anakin, but he's a little more like an ingenue. Like he comes in kind of like, like
He's
wide-eyed,
pretty.
and well, no, what I mean, he's like wide-eyed and surprised by the world he's in, and in many ways, in a different way from Rey, because he didn't know that there were nice people, and of course she didn't know that most of the universe existed, so
Yeah, it's true. But she does know very specific things about Jedi for some reason. Anyway,
that's the Force talking.
I guess. The old guard. I, of course, love all of the old characters like Leia, Han, Chewie, and Luke. We do not hear a word from Luke this entire movie, which is fine. Next movie's his movie, but like,
Well, but you are like the whole time, like, are we gonna see Luke? Are we gonna see Luke? And even at, they could have cut it off before Rey went to find him. And when they did,
no.
you expected like, oh, there's gonna be something. Look, it's Luke, and nothing.
Most of it is her walking up steps
Yeah.
when that could have been a very quick, short thing. And she just comes across him and is just like, Master Luke. And then he's just like, Whose goes there? It could have been anything. I just need to hear him speak. Anyway.
Oh, or there you are.
Hello there.
Hello
Imagine.
there.
Kylo Ren. I like Kylo Ren.
Me too.
I think that he is a different kind of evil character. He is a petulant child. He has no idea what he's doing, clearly. He has not been completely trained. He has no idea of any of like
He's not house trained because he's
he's
chewing up
not.
furniture.
He's a child. Obviously he's Adam Driver. He's not a child, but like he acts like a child. He has very stunted development, and it's clear that that happened when he was younger, when he was training under Luke, something snapped in him
Yeah,
and he
the
never got the
emotional
training.
development, the emotional development's missing. Like, there's not nuance there.
He never got the training from the full training from Luke or from Snoke, who is the biggest bad. We'll talk about him. But he also never got time with his parents to develop emotionally. And so he is just being, as he says when about right when he's right about to kill his father, he's just like, it's tearing me apart. And because he keeps feeling drawn to the light side and his parents' side and all of that stuff, but he's still drawn to the dark side for one reason or another. We don't quite know the reason.
The excuses he makes.
Yeah, but we don't know. And obviously, this is not going to give us the answer yet. That would be a waste. But yeah, no, but there is definitely more to him than just I'm evil Darth Vader or I am evil Anakin killing children. Or even like the Emperor just being evil for the sake of it or for power. It's clear that he is ambitious, but he doesn't know where he's building to.
Yeah, he doesn't have a specific goal other than I want to finish Darth Vader's mission. I'm going to talk about that at some point,
Oh
but
yeah, I'll also talk about that. And also, I like that there is no beating around the bush about who his parents are. Literally, when the first conversation with Snoke is like, "By the way, the plans are, or not the plans, map is on the Millennium Falcon with your father, Han Solo." And it's like, okay, well, now we know. It's not a Luke and Vader father thing, where it's just like the son of Anakin
yeah, it's not a
Skywalker.
big reveal kind of thing. It's a reveal, certainly, but it's not a big reveal.
I'm glad that they didn't try to do a reveal like they did in Empire because it just would have felt cheap.
Yeah, it would have.
And I think that knowing what we know helps us be like, huh, how did this happen? But yeah, it gives it a little bit more development. You feel the threat of the First Order in the very first scene, and I think that's important. I think that that was something I had some issue with in the prequels and even a little bit in original trilogy, because again, you have to be able to escape these people if you're main characters, and so they have to be competent a little bit. But these feel like these warriors feel a lot more competent, and they have new weapons, they have a lot of menace to them. They kill an entire village in the first scene, and Kylo is at the helm of that, and he wants that to happen, and they do it without question, except for Finn. And so I think that was important to see. I'm glad we started with that. There are also great shots in this movie. Like, it is pretty damn well directed.
Yes, it is.
And like the eclipsing the planet shot at the very beginning, the stormtrooper shot at the very beginning. Like, it's very, very well shot. The evil lightsabers, I noticed, have like when we see them up close, their vibrations are way more erratic than the light lightsabers are. The light lightsabers are just like static. They are completely normal, steady, stable, while the dark side lightsabers are way more like frequency
Well, right.
shifting constantly, and
We
it.
only see Kylo Ren's, and he is definitely unstable. But
Yeah.
the shape of his is really cool too. It's got flames out of, it's not flames, but lasers out to the side as
It
well.
looks like a toy sword. It
But
does not really feel all that user friendly, but
no. This is a great way to hurt
hurt y'all.
yourself as well. It's like, yeah,
I didn't even
okay.
write that down.
Designed by a child.
Again, cons.
I put it as a pro. I thought it was a good detail, but still.
I thought it was, I mean, they do use it, so it's not a complete waste, but I do think that, again, usability is very important when it comes to a lightsaber. Anyway, BB-8, I think, is adorable. I think he's very cute.
Yeah, I love BB-8.
Han being killed by Kylo sets stakes, and
Oh.
as much as I don't like that Han isn't in the next two movies, I think it was important. I think also Harrison Ford didn't want to be.
Fair.
He barely wanted to be in the original trilogy, so let's give the guy an out. So I think that him being killed and it having that big impact on this trilogy, I think is important, and I think it again sets stakes and it shows Kylo's internal battle, and he thinks it's like settled when he kills his father, but it isn't,
Yeah,
and that's
clearly.
what bugs him about it.
Yeah, and that follows into his fights that are coming immediately after that.
Yeah, he's just yelling and he's like, "I'm ready, I'm done." It's like, no,
No.
even though at the in Return of the Jedi, Luke was told confronting your father will complete your training, it does
It
not.
doesn't. Like,
That
because
was
guess
never
what?
a thing.
It's almost like the force is being run by bad therapists. It can confront your daddy issues. It's like, yeah, that's not gonna fix
They're telling you to
everything.
embrace your feelings,
Yeah,
but in the worst possible way.
it's like this is
Kill your father. It's like, really?
no, that is not
Will
the
that
right
solve my
answer.
daddy issues? No.
No, kill the
Or
boy.
granddaddy issues?
Kill the boy.
Donald Gleason. It's a great cast. I love
This is
Donald Gleason.
amazing.
I think he's
Even the
perfectly
voice
evil.
cast. Oh my God, great.
He is perfectly evil.
He is, and he does it so well, which you don't
His
expect. It's
speech
great.
is so Nazi-esque that it freaks me the fuck out every time I watch it. And he does such a great job with it. Death Star times a thousand with Starkiller Base. When I wrote that down, I had immediately thought of Team America with 9/11 times a thousand.
Empire, fuck yeah.
But yes,
Those doors
I
can't be
do
rolled
like
open.
that this is not just another Death Star. It is kind of, but it has way more power to it,
Yeah,
and
it
that it
kills
can
a
kill a whole
whole galaxy.
system.
Yeah.
And so at least it's a little bit more
Yes.
powerful, and we see that the
It's a large
technology has
galaxy.
evolved. And it's not just, oh, look, big space station that can kill one planet at a time and can't go to light
I mean,
speed.
we are acting like that's nothing, but
It's not nothing. It's just we've seen that
yeah.
twice.
Yes,
We don't
exactly.
need to see that again.
We do not.
Also, more diversity, not just with race and all that stuff. We saw plenty of like different species in the original trilogy, but since it was like the 70s and 80s, we didn't see a lot of good diversity.
Yeah.
Not just in race diversity, but we also see a lot of gender diversity. We see a
Yeah.
lot of female pilots. Obviously, our lead is a female badass, and I mean, I like that. Again, I love I really like it. It makes sense for that the world has evolved and the universe has evolved since the original trilogy. So not everything is status quo. So we see more, and it makes sense under Leia Organa, that would be how it is.
Yeah,
She would absolutely be like, "All right, badass bitch, you fly that plane." And even in the First Order, they have Captain Phasma played by
Gwendolyn
Gwendolyn
Christie.
Christie.
Yeah.
So I like that in general. I think that that's cool.
Is that everything?
That's all I wrote now.
Okay. I have a lot of pros. I was kind of surprised how many pros I wrote down, and some of it is like just general pros for this movie specifically, because there are things that get changed over the course of this trilogy
Oh,
that
yeah.
bother me, but
I liked the way they were established originally. So I'm going to mention some of those. The music, I love the music. I think that, the
Oh, I
themes
didn't
they
even write that
developed
down.
for Rey and for Kylo Ren are both excellent. The one for Rey starts out a little like Harry Potter, but then it morphs into kind of this lighter feeling
I could have sworn the
theme.
beginning of her theme was Christmas
Yeah.
morning
At Hogwarts, yeah.
at Hogwarts.
Yeah, I can see
It
it.
really did sound
Yeah,
like that.
it did at the beginning, but then we don't hear that part of the theme again. So I think that was just kind of an introductory thing. But I do love the themes. I think the brightness, the recording level is excellent for this series. So it's been really good. There is that cool shot of the Carillion ship blocking the planet, which gives you the sense of foreboding. And I think you made a really good point with that. Particularly in the prequels, you don't get a sense of foreboding by the Federation, is like,
Trade blockade. It's like, I
because
don't give a shit.
trade blockade could be scary if you had it like as this big ship blocking out the light on your planet. That would be cool. We don't see that. We don't get a feeling of that you should be afraid. Like, it's more civilized, I guess, in the prequels, and it shouldn't be because they're at war and people are dying. So I like the fact that this seems more tangible. I love BB-8. I love that they use Max von Sydow, who played the three-eyed raven in Game of Thrones, as the person who has the piece of the map and
He
gets it
would.
to
Just look at
Poe.
him. He would.
He would, but he's also like, when you're first watching this, it's like, oh, this is going to be our Obi-Wan for this, and he
No.
dies
He died
immediately.
immediately.
But it really is, a great tiny cameo performance, and there are a ton of them in here, and many of them you don't see because they are people either in masks or giving voice
I think
talent.
Simon Pegg is the
Simon
voice.
Pegg is one of the people on
Jakku.
Jakku. He's the traitor who
Yeah.
got the guy who's collecting
Awful.
all the junk, and he's terrible.
Not
Daniel Craig,
the actor. The actor's fine.
no. Daniel Craig is the stormtrooper that
Just
replaces
drop
Rey.
it.
Yeah, he and
And I'll drop my weapon. I forgot that
who
was
oh
Simon
who is
Pegg.
Maz? Oh God,
Oh, it's Lupita Nyong'o.
yeah, Lupita
I
Nyong'o,
love her.
she is fantastic and can do
I
anything.
love her. Remember that one look, the pearls on the red carpet?
Yeah, oh my God, she's
God,
so
that woman can
gorgeous.
wear
Oh,
anything. I
she really
love
can.
her.
She's so gorgeous.
Oh,
Anyway,
drop dead. Gorgeous.
yeah.
No, don't drop dead,
Please don't. We
please.
love you.
We love you.
So yeah, I love the diversity of the cast and the amazing, and you can tell how popular this whole series is, Star Wars is, because everybody wants to be in it. And we'll just do like, I'll wear a mask, I don't care, right? So because they want to be a part of it. Kylo Ren is got a he is a cool villain with cool villain powers. He stops a blast from a
That is
blaster in
awesome.
midair. We have never seen that. That is awesome shit. There are a lot of powers that Kylo has that we have not seen before, and I'm really impressed with him as a potential villain. I feel like you almost would have liked to have seen some more of that because we're not seeing as much of his development as I would have liked.
I also really like the idea of the Knights of Ren, and
Yeah,
I think.
we don't hear anything other than they exist.
And then they show up in the final movie and just to be beaten. It
Yeah, and the whole time we're kind of like, what the fuck? What are they supposed to be?
would
We
be,
don't even really
I think it
know.
would be such an interesting idea if instead of Snoke, he was inducted into the Knights of Ren, and it wasn't just a like primary leader, it was a group of people who were the Knights of Ren, who are the first head of the First Order. And he
The
was
Imperial
inducted, or
Guard or
he's
whatever.
trying to get inducted
Yeah.
into their ranks, and he's failing.
Yeah, he's
That
got a
would be
goal.
awesome,
But no,
but
we
no.
don't see any of that. So yeah.
No. I do love Andy Serkis, though, so
Oh,
he will
Andy
do whatever
Serkis
you want.
as Snoke. He's great. All right. So Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaac's fantastic. Love it. I love Gwendolyn Christie as Captain Phasma. I have fan service both in the pros and the cons because as a fan,
I like fan service, and most of what we see in this is really well done. I mean, it is really, you aren't just getting like some fluffy little callback that, or an Easter egg that only, 14 people will see. They give screen time to the Millennium Falcon. They give screen time to all of these characters that we have developed and loved over time, and it warms my heart, brings tears to my eyes, all the stuff. I think that that's really well done. There are some things, particularly about the plot, that I think are maybe a little too retread.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in my cons.
And that's, again, it's a con for me, but the vast majority of the visual, particularly as fan service, I love, and some of the conversations with, and I'll get to it because it's another probe for me, is Han and Leia and all of that stuff. I just love it. So Finn's conflict, I love him. I love his vulnerability. We've talked about that some. I feel like John Boyega does a great job embodying that. He does a great job with his character. Rey has all the earmarks of a Skywalker, and I really love this. When I first watched this movie, you're looking at her and you think, all right, she looks like she could be a descendant of Padme, of Leia. She could be, because you don't know who she is, and she doesn't know who she is. And visually, she looks like she could be in the Skywalker line. And you start sitting there thinking, like, did Luke have a girlfriend? Did things happen? All things can change. I don't know. She is good at tinkering. Both Anakin and Luke are, and we've seen that. She's a great pilot, which again, both Anakin and Luke were. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, they're setting her up to, take the mantle from them. And the buildup of that potential story, like her discovering that she's a Skywalker and she's going to inherit all this stuff, not inherit, but take over or take that role as a Jedi, I think is really a cool concept, and is, they're laying the groundwork here in this movie, and I really like it. Donald Gleason, fantastic. General Hux, I mean, he's almost a caricature of Hitler,
He is.
but at the same time, it's brilliantly done. Well done. I love Finn and Rey being cute. That possible chemistry, the possible romance. We've already mentioned that I'm going to bitch about later is wasted. I like that this universe is dirty. It's dirty. It's messy. There are genuine emotions. There are genuine, like, fear of being discovered. Like, particularly Finn is very worried that they're going to discover, like, oh, I'm not really with the Resistance. And that is a big part of his character arc in the first half of this movie. So I feel like that reality brings a lot to this. That again, we in that in the prequels, because you have to think about how these were released too. You have the original trilogy, which is great, despite the fact that I don't love Return of the Jedi. The original trilogy is great. Then the prequels are released like 12 years later, 15 years later. And you have high hopes because, hey, there's this stuff that we've loved. They weren't great, as a whole. And, they're pretty, but they aren't really emotionally things that you are engaged with as much. And then 10 years after that, we come to this universe where we're having these callbacks to the original trilogy and the characters that we really grew attached to. And the whole reason we are watching all these Star Wars movies are those characters. And it's really great that we're getting to see that. I like Kylo Ren's lightsaber. I've already mentioned that. Again, fan service, but Han and Chewie coming out to the Millennium Falcon and saying, Chewie, we're home. It just, I got tears in my eyes with that. I got tears in my eyes later multiple times. Again, sometimes I love Han Solo as a character so much, but some of it is just that feeling that, like the audience, the actors are enjoying re-inhabiting these characters, and that's really awesome. There are bad guys that are after Han, and I find them very, very funny. I kind of, some part of me is very curious about, like, because they're all pirates and they're all smuggling stuff, and he's like, Han has dropped loads, and that's why these other guys are after him.
And then one of them is a guy with this outrageous Scots accent, and it's a Scottish accent. And all I could think is Scots in space. It started with Scotty on Star Trek, and now we have this new develop of more Scots in space. Very, very funny. And why would they want Wrathchars? Why would anyone want a Wrathchar? These giant, scary beast things. I don't understand that. There's a better bowcaster for Chewie, and we get to like really see the power of it in this movie. It's great. Snoke is creepy. He is a Marvel-esque villain, which I think is really pretty cool. He's got a little Guardians of the Galaxy, and just like this kind of omnipotent sort of bad guy, and that's kind of cool. They have a good bar on Maz's bar on Taco Donna is really cool. There is a battle that occurs on Taco Donna is really cool. It's got both ground battles and in the air, excellent. And then Leia is reunited with Han, and it made me cry. I just love them together. I love the music. It's great. We get a little bit of a flashback where Rey touches Luke's lightsaber, and I didn't love that part that much, so I'm not really going to talk about it as a pro. R2 is a pro. Love R2. Kylo and Rey having force battles, I think, is well staged, and it's compelling. The conflict between the two of them, that both of them are internally and externally conflicted, I think is really good. Han's death, it's both a pro and a con. In the pros, the staging, the language, the acting, I think is really well done. Finn versus Kylo Ren leading into Rey versus Kylo Ren with the lightsaber, I think that's really well done too. R2 coming back, and Chewie being just the best fucking period. Chewie's awesome. And of course, Luke being present like that. What were your cons? All right. Jakku being Diet Tatooine. I just feel like we've seen this before. And it's a little bit different since she is a scavenger and not a water farmer. But it's still a barren desert planet. And yes, we have a few set pieces of, oh, here's some old Imperial walkers and different modes of transport that have crashed here somehow. But I still find the setting just done. We've done that before. We couldn't have done a different thing. I don't know.
We're never gonna
It
know.
follows such similar beats to New Hope instead of trying something different. I think it was mostly out of fear because the prequels did something kind of different and it didn't work out all that well with
Yeah, I don't
general
know what their
audiences.
take was money-wise, but I know that the online and fanboy feedback for the prequels was not what they had hoped for.
I wonder why. So a droid is sent with information to a desert planet. They escape on the Millennium Falcon. They meet up with Leia to make a plan. Final confrontation where Mentor dies. We've seen this before.
We have.
And again, I talked about how that worked in New Hope. It's a basic hero's journey. That's fine. But we've seen it before
Yeah.
in this series. We've seen the basic before. We don't need another basic movie. And again, I understand the idea of like keep it basic. We're introducing a lot of things. Yes, but we are used to this universe having different things. So for those who are watching it, and I don't think this, I mean, I don't know, but I highly doubt that this was a lot of people's first Star Wars movie. Maybe when they're younger, yes. But like for a lot of this movie, with all the fan service it has, it is for the people who love and have seen all of the other movies,
Yeah.
especially the original trilogy. So the idea that they need to just do beat for beat something that was done in the very first movie of this series doesn't make much sense to me. I think they could have easily have done something a little bit different, and maybe, just maybe, if they had had Poe escape and He has the stuff in, he has the map with BB-8. Like, he still puts it in BB-8, but he goes with BB-8. He escapes, and Finn immediately is like, I want to escape, and all that stuff, like, and leaves with him. That would be one thing, but no. No. So it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like they're, I like the general story of this, but I think that they stuck way too close to something we've seen before for it to feel fresh. I and again, that's nothing against like the actors or anything. That's purely a s plot structure issue for me. Ray knowing all the main characters from the original trilogy or knowing of them makes no sense to me. She was abandoned when she was a child on a desert planet where all she does is scavenge for food, and she shouldn't know who Han Solo is. I mean, like, maybe Han Solo, maybe he would be the only one that she knows because he was the
Also,
one who
yeah, the
owned the
Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon, but she didn't know that was the Millennium Falcon, so why would she know who Han is? Also, I don't understand why she knows who Luke is, of all people. It would be one thing if she was literally on Tatooine, where Luke is from, and people talked about him. That would be
No,
one thing.
everybody's talking about him because, like, everyone's the First Order's hunting for him and have been apparently for
These
years.
scavengers don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, except for much like her situation, like, hey, if you can get information or whatever, the First Order is looking for info about Luke Skywalker, I guess. And that could trickle down. Like, well, why do they care about Luke Skywalker? He's legendary, and that seems to be universe wide or galaxy wide or whatever.
Another issue I have with keeping things a little too samey is the dynamic. It's the same dynamics in the First Order as it was in the Empire, with a biggest bad, which is Snoke, aka like Emperor Palpatine. Then we have a Dark Lord, Kylo Ren, and Darth Vader, and then we've got the guy below him, but kind of on the same level of Governor Tarkin and Hux. So we have the exact same setup, which didn't work the first time. And so why would it work now? This is why I
Change,
pitched.
man.
This is why I pitched, because we don't get any information about the Knights of Ren. Why aren't the Knights of Ren in charge of the Empire? And they are like, all right, well, we meet up over hologram, kind of like a Jedi Council. We meet up over hologram, but we're all in different parts of the galaxy to keep things in order. Instead of everyone being in the same fucking place, doing the same fucking thing, and not n having managing anything else. I don't think that makes sense, and it's bad bandwidth. It's a bandwidth issue when you really think about it. And I think that in general, again, it's the same issue as the Death Star, really. You can't go into light speed because it, like, yes, it has it like some proximity things that it can do, of like it can shoot further into the galaxy, and so that's fine. But like, their station is attached to a planet because it is drawn from that core, and so
Yeah,
like,
and
what happens
it sucks
when,
out the sun,
yeah,
so from whatever star system it's in, so
so like, what happens when you run out? You can't go to light speed on a planet. Like, I don't understand what the fucking deal is with these people, and I'm not understanding how like a traveling space station works. I just generally think that the First Order, it should have had a different structure so it felt different. Again, it would be very interesting if Kylo Ren was inducted into the Knights of Ren, but he is still kind of on probation, and so he feels like,
Anakin-esque.
and he feels like he has to prove himself to these people, and this is the part of the galaxy that he is in charge of with General Hux. And like, General Hux can stay. I like General Hux. He's
I do
fine.
too.
But I think that that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. I can kind of see the thing that's least clear to me is numbers, right? Like, we don't know how many people are involved in the First Order. The First Order seem to be big, scary, and omnipotent, and clearly have a bunch of ships. The problem that I've got is they also talk about, oh, those, the rebellion out in the galaxy, way out there, like
They act like there are more of the rebels than there are of them. I don't know. It's a little unclear to me. Even Hux's speech that refers to the Senate. Like, when did the Senate get like redone? Like, it's a little unclear what is fighting what. The bottom line, we don't care because it's good versus
I
evil.
think another element to this that would have made things more interesting with if the Knights of Ren were the big bads would be if all of the Knights of Ren, or most of them, all came from the same Jedi class that Luke was teaching, and that everyone turned to the dark side. It wasn't just, I mean,
Kylo.
obviously the most impactful would be your own nephew, but
Yeah, that would be
then
fun.
everyone was ha was under the same kind of influence of, well, one person, there could still be like a leader of that. Like, there could still be like the guy who turned first. That's fine. It doesn't have to be Kylo. But I think that Kylo being the last to turn makes sense. And so, like, that could be an interesting dynamic of that's why Luke feels like he failed. Not just Ben, but he feels like he failed everybody in that class because he didn't protect them from the dark side.
Well, right. And I think that that would be kind of fun to have Ben be the last one to turn, because while he is the most powerful, and he's clearly very
He
powerful,
still has the draw to the light.
he still has the draw to light. That'd be fun.
That would
We
be
didn't do
so fun.
that. I mean,
Why
not like
didn't they do that?
I know we're having like a whole fantasy here, but
I
to
know, but also I
oh,
also
God.
think that the weird line that Leia says is it was Snoke. It's like, how did Snoke meet this guy? How did Snoke have any control? Who is what the fuck is a Snoke? And how did he do any of
We
this?
are never going to know the answer to really any of that. The last movie, they try to clean up some of these loose ends. They fail. They fail utterly.
Fire, Mother. They don't clean it up.
Yeah, and that's new. You wanted new.
Anyway, Kylo having Vader's helmet. First of all, how?
Yes.
Did he go to Endor and dig through some trees and leaves? Because no.
And the other part of it is why, which is a major common
And using
complaint.
him as an example, question, did Luke tell him the whole story of his father? Because if he did, he wouldn't want to follow in Vader's footsteps. And the way that it ended was Vader killing the evil person
Yes,
and not
exactly.
being the evil person. Did he finish the story with you? Because I don't think he did. And it would be one thing if, like, that was what he was being told by the Knights of Ren, who, like, idolized the idea of Darth Vader but didn't know the whole story. Luke himself would tell you the whole story.
So would your mother, Leia
Not that
knows.
she was there. We'll
But
talk.
Leia
I'd
would
already
know.
talked about that.
Yeah,
Anyway.
Leia would know because you know that. Okay, you don't know, but the way it is portrayed in this movie, you've got a period of time in which, yeah, Luke has his Jedi camp, but Han and Leia are together. They have a child. They start raising the child. They realize that he's got, force powers, and they're like, "Hey, I want him to be trained as a Jedi. I'm going to send him to Luke, and Luke's going to, basically train him." And you're not really clear on exactly when that happens, but he's got to be like, 8-ish,
Too old, according to the prequel.
whatever. But okay, so he's young, but you know that they had contact still. You know that like. There's a reason why Luke would be training this child and how he would be training this child because they talk about it. And let's face it, Leia is also force sensitive. She knows some shit. And from what we're seeing, there's some possibility that Han is too. And so there's not a reason why they would not have shared what they did know about Darth Vader with their child. And it's just exhausting. It's exhausting.
Also, how did they get the blue lightsaber?
That's a good
Because
question.
last
I
time we
didn't think
saw
about
that
it.
goddamn lightsaber was in the
Empire.
second, yes, it was in Empire, and Luke got his hand chopped off by his father, by the way, and it fell down a shaft. He never found that lightsaber. Luke never found that lightsaber, but somehow Maz Kanata got it.
Yeah. And she's like, how did
What?
you get that? Well,
It's a good
Also,
story
the
for
way
Henderson
that
Hill.
it seemed in on whatever Bespin, it was all in the clouds. So that would just be like falling either forever into the sea or
The
something.
mining planet. Bespin's a mining planet.
All right, well, it would fall in the mines. And
I
it, like, what? When
don't
would
know.
you, where would you,
I
and you're
don't
telling me that wouldn't shatter? No. So, and also, last one, how does Rey know any of the abilities of the Jedi,
That's
like
a
the mind control trick? I'm fine with her having in good instincts when it comes to like lightsaber stuff. Like she works with a staff. Like I'm sure she's had to fight someone before, so she's not like very graceful with it, but at least she like is just trying. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. Her also fighting against him trying to infiltrate her mind. Fine with that. Whatever. But her immediately, her first instinct saying out loud, "You will undo my restraints," and thinking that would work makes no sense to me. No one told her that that would work. No one told her that anyone has seen that happen. Like, how would she ever have guessed that that was gonna work? That's the one that bothers me. But
That
the
bothers
rest
me too.
is, yeah, no, whatever.
Is that everything you wrote down?
That's all I wrote down.
Alrighty. So my cons start with the super long crawl, which again, it's a bit like boring the way it's written. It's not, again, the first scenes we see aren't, but the crawl is basically like, oh, Poe Dameron's gonna go look for a thing about Luke. But there's all this explanation about Leia being a general. There's no mention of Han. There's no mention of Kylo Ren, but they do have First Order in all caps. It's like it feels a little like the prequels from a crawl perspective. Jakku as Discount Tatooine, I agree, is crap. The First Order as Discount Empire is also, again, not clear and not well developed, and so it feels a little hollow. The no longer having a clone army, I get it makes sense, and it, of course, you're going to have people that you can impress into service, but you do have I would be shocked if Finn were the first person to turn away from being forced to be a stormtrooper. So it's not necessarily the best way to get a working army. The fan service stuff, like I said, the plot, I feel like there was a little too much New Hope in it. I agree with you on that. I like the way it's done visually. I think that, they make it visually interesting enough. They kind of try to shake up things from having an additional fight on Maz's planet that looks pretty cool, and it's a it, we haven't seen a lot of land battles other than sort of the one on Endor's moon, but I like that they're having a little more of a land battle there. The thing that I really don't like is like, here we're gonna blow up another planet killer, or in this case, a star killer. And yes, star killer is worse and it is scary, but it's visually and stakes wise, it feels very the same as blowing up a Death Star, and we've had two Death Stars. So it would have been nice to have something a little bit different. But I think they appreciate that just like having this nebulous battle for Anakin's conscience, it doesn't always play that well visually, so maybe we need to try something else. So yeah, that was a bit much. The Supreme Leader being mostly off screen was kind of meh to me. The visuals they do with him are cool, so obviously, love you, Andy Serkis, good for you. Kylo's temper tantrums are absurd to me. I mean, I like the idea of his being unable to handle his emotions and his temper tantrums being more physical than just like Anakin yelling. I just don't think it brings anything to the bad guy character. I just don't I don't know that they were necessary to make him into like basically a 13-year-old.
I can't. Oh, Kylo not caring about Han and his conversation with Snoke, like not caring about this idea that you've got to face your father. I don't know if he's just projecting, like, oh no, I'm not worried about that. He doesn't say it that way. So it's a little harder to read. Maybe that's just a me thing. But of course, I love Han and the idea of not caring when he was upsetting. So that's a thing. Him talking about finishing Darth's vision. Darth's vision. Darth didn't have a vision. I mean, I think that's really the point. Anakin didn't have a vision other than trying to save Padme from dying in childbirth. So, and nobody other than Obi-Wan and Anakin knew that, and the Emperor. Those three are the only ones who would know that that's what, or, and Yoda. They were the only ones who would know that. No one said anything about that to Luke, so Luke doesn't have any fucking clue. And it is not something that carries over into the original trilogy as part of the storyline, so you're kind of like, this makes absolutely no fucking sense. And Darth's vision is not let's kill everybody. So I'm not really clear on what Kylo has been told Darth's vision is, but it would be nice to know what his concept of that is, to know what it is that he's conflicted about. Because right now, he's just conflicted about his daddy. I have daddy issues. And it's silly. Han's death. I absolutely hate not having Han Solo as a character because, as you've probably guessed from listening to all of the podcasts about Star Wars, I think Han may be the most compelling character or the most compellingly acted character in the movies overall. And that's Harrison Ford straight up. Finn and Kylo both at the end of this should be dead. And that's based on what we know about what lightsabers are supposed to do. And let's face it, Kylo Ren. So after he kills Han, Chewie shoots him with a bowcaster. Now, the bowcaster on everybody else, including people with a lot more armor on than Kylo, have been blasted back and killed. He gets a shot like in the shoulder, or no, in the side. And he's just basically like hitting it and bleeding and like, sort of holding himself together, but not really. But then he also gets a bunch of lightsaber injuries in both the fight with Finn and the fight with Rey, ought to be freaking dead. When he fights back against Finn, it looks like he's slicing Finn along the back, and Finn doesn't have armor on. It's like, should be dead, but isn't. And both of them survive for two more movies. So, I just
Surprise.
surprised. I feel like these may be continuity problems. Anyway, so
We
those
don't
were.
want Finn to
No,
die.
I don't. I love Finn. I don't like how he's treated in future movies as much as I would have liked to, but that I may be wrong. So that's why we're watching. Where do you think this fits in the scheme of things?
I think where I was initially going to put it based off of my general idea was 5, 4, 7, 3, 6, 2, 1.
Yeah, I'm still unclear about where I put six in the scheme of things, whether it is before two or after two. This is not an accounting thing. This is an actual how you handle movies. But I agree. I think it comes right after New Hope as far as movies go, because this is really visually stunning as a movie. And I don't know that we've said that as clearly as we probably should. It is a visually stunning movie. The characters are unique and compelling in many ways. And I think that it is well worth watching. I mean, I think, maybe at the end we'll talk about, like, if you're only going to watch, a couple Star Wars movies, which ones they would be. But I think that's what the order is for as well. We have two more movies to come. And I'm actually interested because these are movies we haven't watched much, and maybe
some of my memory is poor. That's totally plausible. I don't know about you. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm interested to talk about the next movie because I feel like it gets shat on a lot, and I think it had good ideas. And again, much like the prequels, it had good ideas. Execution-wise,
I
okay.
remember some really good visuals from this next movie. I think that those visual things can make, again, like it made for episode 7 here for Force Awakens. I think it can elevate what you're watching on the screen. It's visually very interesting. But again, it's been a while. I'm looking forward to it. We hope that you join us and cheers.
Cheers.